Father, I want to give you praise for this morning. Thank you, God, for this new day you have given unto us all on this platform. Lord, we don't take this for granted for this brand new day. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice, and we are already rejoicing, and we shall be glad in this day. Father God, we give you praise. Blessed be your name. Lord, the entrance of your word, it gives light and it gives understanding unto the simple. Father, Lord, help us, O Lord, that we are the people of the kingdom. Lord, we pray that we will know who we are and whose we are, and we'll be able to continue to live. Lord, your servant has been explaining to us all these ministrations for us to always remember the people that we are, that we should always operate in the kingdom now. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus. Father, speak to me first in this ministration. Reiterate, oh God, oh Lord, who we are to us on a personal level, oh God. We give you praise. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' glorious name we pray. Amen. So thank you, Pastor, again. I want to just go quickly into this administration. We are looking at God's will for the kingdom people this morning. And we just want to start off first, just make a quick definition of God's will. If we are looking at God's will is just his desire, his plans, his purposes, and his determinate counsel. Okay, so that is simply what God's will are. And we shall be looking at making comparison between the Old Testament, just brief in the Old Testament and the New, because we are people birthed out of the New Testament. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are in a new kingdom. We are in a different kingdom, slightly different from the old. So, because I will always reference Exodus 19, that will be a major verse we are going to be using to compare 1 Peter 2, verse 9. We are going to compare those, because now we are in a different kingdom. And then because we are comparing the physical and to the spiritual. Praise God. So again, God's will, I've already defined what it is. And also, the place of first mention of the word God's will is in Psalms 40, verse 8. That one I will read since it's our opening verse. If you look at Psalms 40, verse 8, the Bible says that in Psalms 40, verse 8, it says here that, okay, let me see. It says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. So, and then I know that as people of the kingdom, we want to do God's will. I've already made that definition to us. So since we know that God has a desire, he's got a plan for us, and he has a purpose, and his determinate counsel, those four things combined is what I kind of in looking through the scriptures, we will see that that is what that God's will is about for us, his desire, his plans, his purpose, and his determinate counsel. So, again, after reading that place, we can want to just make a comparison of Exodus 19. Because in the Old Testament, we had the physical Israel. You know, we have been taught that we should not be comparing, with saying that we are a spiritual Israel. I don't know. Maybe at the maybe anyone could do down the reactions. I could be corrected on that. But I know that we are birthed out of Pentecost. We are a new breed of believers. The what I call a new breed of believers. As we'll see those specifics in 1 Peter 2 verse 9, we'll go there to compare. So, but after having made this definition of what God's will is, and then we'll go quickly, before I go to Exodus, and compare that Exodus 19 to 1 Peter 2, verse 9. I'm going to make that comparison. I just want to make a little bit of other information about God's will. We can also see that in the scriptures, we'll see that as we go along in the New Testament, because we are believers of the New Testament, and we belong to a kingdom. In the Old Testament, we know that God has his people. We will see those specifics in that Exodus. He has his people, meaning the children of Israel. And again, I'm not trying to say that we are a spiritual Israel, no. Because by the time we go to Ezekiel 36, we will see that we are a restored people. So first and foremost, we are in a new kingdom. We know that we have a heavenly kingdom. And that kingdom, like what our pastor has been saying, we are already in it already. We belong in it already. It's not that we shall be. It's not that we will be. We are already in it. Of course, it will be given to us, because the Bible says that it is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. God is not keeping it unto himself. He's releasing it unto us. He made it unto us. He's made available unto us. It's a place. It's a life. It's an experience. Praise God. So those are all what that kingdom is. And we are experiencing it already. We are in it already. It will be given to us. And then we are going to obtain it. And he's not going to take it back. Praise the Lord. So he's giving us that kingdom. So having known God's will, that they are made up of those four things, we can now quickly just go. Let's just reflect before we go into Exodus. Let's just make a little bit of explanation of let's just look at into things in the New Testament, just brief portions. After that, Psalm 40 verse 8 that was the first mention. Let's look at other places in the scriptures that also mention God's will. If you look at Matthew 6:10, we all always know that place. You can just cite that one. It says that thy will be done on earth just as it is done in heaven. So that one we know that is God's desire. He wants his will to be done on earth just as it is done in heaven. And also if we consider also in the scriptures, if we look at the next one will be Mark 3:35. Let me go to that one. Mark 3:35. The scriptures that are easily quoted, I can just cite those ones to save time. But the one that I might need to open, then we can look at it. So after that, Matthew 6:10, where the Bible said that it will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Obviously, it is done in us, we believers, or God's people, or the people of the earth. How do I know that? If you can always consider Psalms 24, verse 1, the Bible said that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in it. I always use that to just explain it to people that God's will is obviously for the people of God. It's not just to the elemental earth. It's not for the elemental earth or the elemental world. It's for the people inside of it. Praise God. So, but thank God that we are in a different kingdom. As I will explain, use Exodus 19 to differentiate that old one, that kingdom, that Israel there, and compare it to the one that we are in. You know, 1 Peter 2, in that portion of 1 Peter 2, verse 9, there will ask all those elements of this new experience. Like I said, we are already in that life. He has given us the kingdom. The Father's good pleasure to give it to us. He's not taking it back. We're already in it. Praise the Lord. So in doing this, we are going to just look again. We know for sure that this kingdom that we are in, that is an experience, and that God wants us to continue to grow in it, continue to, you know, do his will in this kingdom that we are in. So if you look at Mark 3, we are looking at verse 35. And the Bible says here that for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Praise the Lord. So that's in Mark chapter number 3, verse 35. Whoever will do his will, the same is my brother, my sister, and my mother. So I don't know. I was thinking, when I was read this place, I was like, you know, we always assume that sometimes the word brethren in the New Testament is always referring to brothers and sisters in Christ. But I noticed that Jesus included his mother here. So that means that God's will can be done by everybody. It's not just brothers and sisters in Christ, as we always refer to them being the brethren. Praise the Lord. So that is just a verse I was just going to add to that for us to see that. And then you will see that in Matthew 26:39, Jesus fell on his face and he prayed and he said, not my will as I will, but as thou will. So because those of us in this kingdom, most of us have to give up ourselves to take God's will, because God's will, which is his desires, plans, purposes, and determined counsel, want to take it over and do those things, because that's what pleases the heart of the Father. So let me go to that one. If you look at Matthew 26, let's go to Matthew 26 and 39. It says that Jesus fell on his face and he prayed that prayer, and he said that not my will. Okay, so not my will, but as thou will. Let me see. Let me make sure I'm putting that right. Okay, so Matthew 26 and then 39. Let me see. Okay, so the Bible says that let me see. So that's Matthew 26, 39. Yes. The Bible says, and he went a little further. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Then the Bible said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. Praise the Lord. So we are the people of the kingdom who always want to do what pleases God, what is God's will in our life. So I've given all those background, information, just extra specifics of God's will in the scriptures. So now I want to cite example before I go and differentiate Exodus 19 and 1 Peter 2. just to give extra specific examples of God's will. If you look at the First Thessalonians 5, that one, let me read that one also. First Thessalonians 5, I have it already here. The Bible says in First Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 18, it says here that rejoice evermore. Okay, he said we should pray without ceasing. So all these things are all God's will for us. Say we should rejoice evermore. You know, we are just now in a new month. We have to continue to rejoice evermore. Okay, he said that we should pray without ceasing. Okay, we say in everything we should give thanks. So that's why I say that we should just reflect back on our past months and just give God thanks. You know, that, you know, thanksgiving is an element for the kingdom people that we must always remember to practice. So, because under these next headings now, what I'm doing now is just citing examples of God's will. So, giving thanks is very, very important for us. And then to give thanks to those things that we already have, not necessarily the things that we do not have. Because when we pray to God, ladies and gentlemen, it is ultimately our faith. When we go to Him, He that must come to Him must believe that He exists. And then that is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I think it's that's in Hebrew 11 verse 6. So when we go to God in prayer and ask Him, He may give it to us. He may ask us to wait. Okay. He may ask us to wait. He may give it to us. He may be wait. He may be okay. It may be right now. It could be instantaneous result of that prayer when we are praying. But ultimately, when we ask God something, as long as it's according to His will, you know, the Bible says that in a First John 5, if we are praying according to His will, the Bible says He hears us. That one, nobody can take that away from us, from Him. As long as it's according to His will, the Lord God will definitely release that thing to that person. However, it could be delayed. It could be instantly. Then it could be wait. After wait, it could be instantly, or it could be delayed. So whichever choice that God wants to do, as long as that thing is according to His will, He will release it to that believer, to that person, and to that person praying that prayer. So that is just that. So the next one here that we should be doing, he said that in everything, he said we should give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So then the Bible also says that we should point not the Spirit. We should despise not prophesying. Okay? So those are just all extra things I wanted to target here. Yeah, verse 18 was really my target, in which it says, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. But this is the will of God. Notice the phrase, the will of God in Christ Jesus. So everything, what might be the thing that you and I might be having that of experience in this last three months. So all those things, we always have to give thanks. Even the prayers that we pray that God did not even answer. You know, I remember one of our sisters in another ministry, God bless her. She mentioned that, I've never heard that before. He said, always still thank God for those things that God refused to give to you. Still give Him thanks for it. It doesn't mean you are faithless. It doesn't mean that you are faithless. However, of course, we have faith to go to Him, because He that must come, if you look at that, the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11, by faith, faith to receive, faith to revert, and faith to refuse. So by faith, when we go to Him and we pray that prayer, you know, if it's according to His will, He heareth us, yes. However, in the release of that answer, God might hold off. It might be instant. It might be wait. So that's ultimately up to Him. But then God will still give it to that believer, to that person. So that's just what I'm trying to explain. So thanksgiving is a very big element, ladies and gentlemen, to the kingdom people. Thanksgiving is very, very important. Why am I saying that? I don't want to go to that verse. If you look at First Timothy 4, all the behaviors and the attribute of the end times, you see, one of the things there, unthankful, being unthankful is listed there. You know, that in this end of time, there will be a lot of people not giving thanks to Him. Maybe I should go to that verse. I didn't write it down, but I think we should just, as a reminder, that the kingdom people that we always have to be thankful to God in every situation. So that's already emphasized, and we know that already. So let me give us that verse. I think it's in First Timothy. Second Timothy 3. Yes, 2 Timothy 3 is there, you know, unthankful. It's on the list of those behaviors. There in verse 2 of 2 Timothy, you will see that the Bible says, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and then unthankful. So that's what I just don't know why I'm really emphasizing that for us to not forget to always be thankful. So let's move on. So that is that. The next also example of God's will is in 1 Peter 3, verse 17. So we have captured giving thanks, praying and rejoicing. All those things that is listed there is all the attribute that we always have to do in this to show that we are the people of the kingdom. We always have to be thankful and all of that. So let's go to the next one. 1 Peter 3, 17. Steve, another one there. Let's do it. So the Bible says in 1 Peter 3, verse 17. Okay. And I will read it. It says that, for it is better if the will of God be so that we suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Okay. So another thing is that, sometimes if, to read this verse 17, because I want to give us a context to it, I will refer to just read from 16. The Bible says, having a good conscience, okay, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, that they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you, okay, falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ, okay. And then the next one is, it says, for it is better if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. I don't know what somebody must have accused us of, you know, because we are the people of the kingdom. The Bible is giving us this assurance that they can say all they want to say about you or about me. It doesn't matter. As long as our conversation in Christ, we have a good conversation in Christ. Whenever we see the word conversation in the scriptures, all it might mean is a conversation. The Bible, you will see the Bible say our conversation is in heaven. Let's notice that we are the people of the kingdom. Our conversation is in heaven. It simply to me means new life, the newness of life in Christ. So brothers and sisters, we already have that newness of life in Christ. Somebody might accuse you of something that you never even actually did. Sorry. So what happens is that whether they accuse you of that thing, the Bible is giving us this assurance here that we should continue to have a good conscience. Okay. You will see that I think it's in Acts 24:16, where the Bible says that we should have a good conscience void of offense before God and before man. I think it's Acts 24:16. So whether someone accuses you or not, you are a person of the kingdom. You are rest assured that it is better for it, because if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing, you suffer for well-doing than for doing evil. It's better if somebody accuses me of my good conversation in Christ, my good behavior, the newness of life that we have. Because conversation there is the newness of life. You know, the context of that use that I see a lot in the New Testament is, the Bible will say that our conversation is in heaven, in heaven. But then the Bible says that the kingdom of God is within you. So our conversation is essentially a new life in Christ. So if you are living, we are living okay, we are living holy, we are living a righteous life, someone falsely accuses us, that's fine. What the Bible is saying, that you see God's will, that's fine. So that's another example. Let me move forward quickly. So 1 Thessalonians 4:3 is another will of God that we should also be aware of as people of the kingdom. So let me go to that one. I think it's that one is saying that, well, this is the will of God, even your what? Your sanctification. So sanctification. So let me read that one. It says in 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God. Notice the phrase, the will of God. Even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Okay, let me read 4. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Praise God. So we are a people of honor in this kingdom. Therefore, we have to continue to live a sanctified life. Sanctification is mentioned in that will be my last portion of this ministration, when I will now we'll go through all the attributes of the kingdom people, which are God's will in our practices, what we should always do as a kingdom people, as a kingdom-minded people. Sanctification is one of them. So I don't need to come back again. We have already touched that in this. So now, as I've laid all this background information, I want to also make us to realize that there are consequences of not doing God's will in the kingdom. So we'll see that in Matthew 7:21. So consequences of not doing God's will in the kingdom. So in the kingdom, because that consequences there is for, it can be for people that are in the kingdom and people that are not in the kingdom, because we don't want to have run our race, ladies and gentlemen, and fail. No, we are running this race, like we always say on this platform, to win. Because the Bible says many run, I think Pastor, you have to have said it a lot of time, you always refer to that place, in 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter number 9, where we say that many run in the race, but one win. Run therefore, that you may obtain. So I always pray it as a prayer. When I'm praying, I say, Lord, I want to run. I want to join the ones that are winning. Because that place there says, many run in the race, but one win. That means there are certain people that are winning. So we always want to remind ourselves that we are going to win in this race in the name of Jesus. We are not going to lose. We are not losers, no. We are going to win. So that is one thing that we always have to remind ourselves of. So that is all other thing that I wanted to say, because the consequences of not doing God's will, the Bible mentioned that in that Matthew 7:21, and it says here, to everyone, not everyone that calls me Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom. Let's remember that we are covering this morning God's will for the kingdom people. But then the Bible said, not everyone that calls me Lord, Lord, okay, shall enter into my kingdom. Let's now see who are the people that will be able to do it. I enter into my kingdom, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That is clear to the point that we know that. So we always have to just be reminded that in this kingdom, we are a people of the kingdom. We want to always do God's will. We always want to do God's will. What pleases the heart of the Father? Something that aligns with his desire, his plans, his purposes, his determinate counsel. Everything that I'm doing must align with that. Once we are doing that, God is very, very happy with somebody. You know, several weeks ago, I was saying something about people that are celebrating, people to be celebrated. Someone is being celebrated, and then we don't want to fall a victim of somebody celebrating you or celebrating me or celebrating us. And then God is looking at that person and saying, we don't even know how miserable that person is. I wasn't against being celebrated. That was not my mission in that ministration that I made somewhere, you know, on Facebook. My target was that the unnecessary self-aggrandizement is not necessary for people of the kingdom. No. We have no continuing stay here. We have a city that is already coming, and we are part of it already. Like I said, he has given it to us already. We are different from that. I'm not saying that we should not celebrate men of God. We should not honor them. I give a verse that the Bible requires people that handle the scripture, the word of God, to be given double honor. Yes. However, in the scriptures, we are not supposed to be unnecessarily, aggrandized. Self-aggrandizement is not necessary for the people of God. It's not necessary because it opens door for someone to, it could possibly lead to worship. We don't want somebody to worship me. So I give a lot of verses for that to explain to people that, no, we don't need that. I'm not saying we cannot honor a man. But if I say that, my explanation will be completely off. Because the Bible gives them that opportunity in the scriptures that people that handle the word of God, they should be of a, that we should give them double honor. Yes, yes. Honor them, respect them. But then the Bible doesn't say we should worship them. So why I digress into that is because, there's that temptation there for us to be saying that we have arrived, as a believer, and then God is looking at you from Revelation 3. Look at it there. The person is actually miserable. The person is actually poor. The person is actually, miserable. The person is actually naked. And Jesus even gave that recommendation for us to do in that Revelation 3, that we should buy of him gold tried with fire. We should anoint our eyes, and then we should, he gave all those. I don't want to go to that verse. It's in Revelation 3. So ladies and gentlemen, it is okay to, as a kingdom people to always honor God with our life, but not accept anybody to worship us. I give a lot of verses in that particular administration as I'm explaining that, that each of the apostles, even Jesus, will run away from it. Look at John 4. Somebody was being baptized somewhere, he was gaining more ground than, John the Baptist. In John 4, Jesus immediately didn't want to be known. He just escaped that place because he was targeting the woman at the well in that John 4 to go and minister to her. Notice she's been said to be like the greatest evangelist. He wanted to minister to her so that she can get Christ to her family. So that's what he was targeting. He left that scene quickly. I also gave other people, apostles in the Bible, like Apostle Peter in Acts 10, will refuse anybody to worship him. He didn't want that. He avoided that also. Apostle Paul and also Barnabas in Acts 14, I think 13 or 14 or thereabout, they got away from somebody worshiping them, calling them that they are gods and all of that. So as a kingdom person, we have to always watch our spirit, ladies and gentlemen, to be aware. We don't want anybody to give us any self-aggrandizement that we don't need. We know where we are going. We know who we are. We know that we have received a kingdom that cannot be moved. We want to serve God acceptably with a godly reference. I think it's in Hebrews 12:28. So we want to just serve God. We are not interested in somebody worshiping us or aggrandizing us unnecessarily. It's not necessary. So that is just what I was trying to refer to here. So I haven't laid all this information here. I've given the consequences of not giving, of not doing God's will. Therefore, I want to now differentiate, just to look at the specific features, specific rules of the people of the kingdom from the Old Testament. Let's now compare it with the new. So now let's go to Exodus. So Exodus chapter number 19, I want to just look at that Exodus. If you look at from verse 16, the Bible would say that, now therefore, let me start from verse 5. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and shall be a peculiar treasure, you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all my people, for all the earth is mine. You will see that this particular place here is talking to, you know, he was talking to the house of Jacob here. Actually, if I take it from 3, and Moses went unto God, and the Lord called unto him of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen that I did what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I brought you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto yourself. Verse 5. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Praise the Lord. So now in verse 6 it says, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. That was very specific. So now, if you are comparing this, kingdom of priests here in this Exodus 19, we want to compare it. I wrote down all the specifics that I was found from this portion of the Bible. This Exodus 19 from verse 5 to verse 6 was the specific one. So you will see that he mentioned priests here. He mentioned that they are the children of Israel. He mentioned them to be a nation. Okay. He mentioned that they are going to be, that they are nations. So they are a priest. They are children of Israel, and then they are a nation. Specific. So they are a nation. Holy nation is what he called them in verse 6. So let's not forget those. They are priests. They are a holy nation, and they are children of Israel. So now let's quickly, we are going to come back here. Let me compare this into 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Let's see. Because now this is the one that we belong to. This was the physical Israel here in this chapter. But let's now compare it to the one that we are in. Praise the Lord. So let's compare. So if you go to 1 Peter 2, let's look at verse 9. The Bible says that then, okay, but ye are a chosen generation. Now we have been chosen. So chosen generation, okay, we are a royal priesthood. That's it. Number 2. These are very specifics. Okay. We are a holy nation. Okay. We are a peculiar people. Notice the word peculiar people was also mentioned in Exodus 19. Yes. You will agree that it's there too. Peculiar people. And more verses to the fact that God selected, called Israel out to be a peculiar person will be also in Psalms 135. If you go to Psalm 135, you will see there where the Bible says that Jacob was a, so I think in Psalm 135 verse 4, Jacob was meant to be he said, I have made you to be a peculiar treasure unto myself. Let me see if I'm quoting right on that one. I think it's Psalm 135 verse 4. Let's see. Psalm 135 verse 2 or thereabout. Yeah, verse 4, yes. So he says here, for the Lord has chosen Jacob unto himself. And Israel for his peculiar treasure. Notice the word peculiar treasure there. Similar to what he said in Exodus chapter number 19. They are a peculiar people. So therefore he uses the word peculiar treasure here. So now let's continue with 1 Peter 2. He said that you are a chosen generation. He said that you are a royal priesthood. Okay. God is also letting us know that we are a peculiar people, that we should show forth, okay, the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Praise the Lord. So all these specifics, in fact, in my note, I tabulated it. Okay. In the Old Testament, there was a priesthood. Of course, Levitical. Yes, we know that. Yeah. So there is a priest for them. They were priests. They were children of Israel. They were a holy nation. Look at those specific. Now, in this 1 Peter 2:9, we see that there's a priesthood. Okay. But our priesthood is royal. Praise the Lord. So now there is a what? There is a priesthood. We are a peculiar people. Okay. We are a holy nation. So all these specifics is what we are in this new kingdom, ladies and gentlemen. So now, after we look at this, the physical Israel and those of us that are in Christ in this new kingdom, we see that all these specifics, they look alike. They look similar. Why do they look similar? Let me give us a verse. If you look at the book of Hebrew, the Bible will say that the Bible will tell Moses that he should make, when he was building the temple, giving him the description of how the temple will look like. Because now in the old is always a shadow of the new. Look at it in the book of Hebrew 8. The Bible says in Hebrew 8 that he said that, for if ye were on the earth, ye should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. Okay, he's making comparison here in Hebrew 8 of the old and the new. The Bible now says in verse 5, who serve unto example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was, okay, admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. He was giving instruction about the tabernacle. Yes. So now, because we are a new temple now, but our own temple in this new kingdom, in this new one, is what is spiritual. But I'm going to go to Exodus, into Ephesians 20 to say that we are in a spiritual one. We are not of the stock of the physical. We are not of the stock of the spiritual. So now, we will say that in this verse, the Bible now say that, who serve unto the example and the shadow of heavenly things. And as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for the Bible says, seeth he that thou makest all these things according to the pattern shown to thee in the mount. So that means, according to the pattern shown to thee in the mount. Now verse 6 says, now we have obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Praise the Lord. So we are in this kingdom, we have better promises. You will see that in the book of Hebrews 11. Even all these heroes of faith in Hebrews 11 enumerated there, all of them, in the last verse there would say that them, they without us. Let me see. I think I'm already close to Hebrews 11. Let me just go to that last verse. It said, God having promised on some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. All of all our brothers and sisters in the that are enumerated here in these heroes of faith, all of what they did, the Bible says that God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So that means that they cannot be made perfect without us in this New Testament, in this kingdom that we are in this hour, because this is spiritual one. You will see that the thing in that tabernacle in the Old Testament is like a pattern of the new. How would I know that? The Bible further explains to us, because I want us to realize that we are in a spiritual kingdom. We are a spiritual people. Of course, you will see that when I go to all the other attributes of the kingdom, we will see that the Bible will say that we should worship God. We are the circumcision that worship God in the spirit. We are a spiritual kingdom, slightly different from the physical, from the physical Israel. So in making that comparison, we will see that God is inhabiting us in the spirit. Look at it in Ephesians chapter number 2. Let's go there and just add a little bit of a buttress to it. So in verse 21, the Bible says, in whom all the building fitly framed together, okay, he said, groaneth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Okay, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Praise the Lord. So God is now indwelling us now in this kingdom that we are in, this spiritual kingdom that we are in. Of course, this spiritual kingdom that we are in is indwelling us in the Spirit. It's like a body. That's why, some people call it the body ministry together. It's inside of us together. So nobody can take the Holy Spirit away from you, my brother and my sister. We already have it. The pastor will say, Pastor Yato will say that it's not for the world. Okay? Looking at it from John 16, it's not for the world. It's for us, the believers. It's for us. So we are the spirit based. We are of the stock of the spirit. We are not of the stock of the physical Israel. So we are in the spirit. We are the circumcision. I worship God in the spirit. We have no confidence in the flesh. So now, after having said this, as I begin to wrap up this administration, I want us to, when we compare, okay, the Exodus 19, all those specific features there, children of Israel, they are a holy nation, okay, they are priests, those three things will now compare again to the New Testament, the same thing. But however, I want us to also be aware that in the Old Testament, just to, enumerate some more things that they wear, they had kings in the Old Testament. They also had stripes in the Old Testament. They had prophets, seer prophets. Of course, there's the office of the prophet, there is the spirit of the prophet, and then there is the gift of prophecy. All those was in operation because God used prophet to minister to his nation, meaning to his the children of Israel. Uh-huh. So now you will see that also that they had elders. Those are extra that they had. They were chosen, just like we too, we are chosen. So I'm looking at my table now to tabulate the differences. So now in this, our kingdom now, therefore, we are also chosen. That's why we are a chosen generation. Hey, praise God. So we are a chosen generation. We are in a royal priesthood, the same thing. And then we are the children of the light. As mentioned in that 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse 9, we are children of the light. We can even buttress more on that. The Bible would say that we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. I think it's in somewhere in Colossians that we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness, and that one will say into the kingdom of his dear son. So we are in this kingdom, this spiritual kingdom that we are in, this one that Jesus Christ has bought for us and given, freely given unto us. Okay? Freely given unto us. Because in the Old Testament, Jesus was not revealed on a personal level like we see now in the new. It was God above us. Okay, God above us in the Old Testament. And then we see that during the ministry, physical ministry of Jesus, it was God with us. And then that was Emmanuel, God with us. And then now he left. He said he must need to go. That without him going, the Holy Spirit will not come. Notice that in this kingdom, we are the people of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. So he said he need to go. I think it's in John 16 that he needed to go. That if he does not go, that the Holy Spirit will not come. So he went back. He said, I will go back. He said, I will send the Holy Spirit unto you in my name. Then he will say that another place, the Father will send it to you in my name. Okay, the Father will send it to you, but it's in my name. Okay, another place, I will send it to you. I will send it to you. So, the Holy Spirit has come to us from Pentecost. We now have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's not like what it was in the Old Testament, because it was God above us. Jesus came as God with us. He came as God with us, during his ministry. And then again, he left the scene and said that the Holy Spirit will come. Then at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit now came. Just that the Bible said in the book of Acts, chapter number 2, the Holy Spirit would come to fill the believers. I think it's Act 1, to fill the believers, and then they were there in the upper room, just like they were instructed to wait for him. He asked them to wait for him, to wait there at Jerusalem until they be endowed with power. That's what the instruction Jesus gave them prior to his departure. So now, when he left, the Holy Spirit now came to indwell the believers. That believing believers there that the Holy Spirit indwell, you are still part of it, ladies and gentlemen, we are part of it, because We are still of that kingdom, but that's the New Testament believers. So the Holy Spirit filled them to show that in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit only comes over, right? Isaiah 61, it comes over. It was not indwelling like what we have now in this New Testament. So anywhere we go, we should know who we are and whose we are. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. It's not coming over anymore as it's stated in Isaiah 61:1. Or you can also consider 1 Samuel. Look at the 1 Samuel number, chapter number 1, verse 10. It's also there too. In which the Holy Spirit comes over those people that met those school of prophets. So that is different. But now we have the Holy Spirit in us. We are not having the Holy Spirit in us for pride. No. It's because it is an earnest deposit that God has given unto us. It's an earnest expectation of our redemption. Okay, it has been given unto us as a deposit to prove that God is inside of us, that in this kingdom God is with us. He's giving the kingdom to us freely. He's not taking it back. In fact, you will see that the Bible will say that the kingdom of God is within you. Okay, we are already in it. It's in us. As long as we are abiding in God and God is abiding in us, we are in the kingdom. We are not going to lose in the name of Jesus. So those are the things I wanted to also just be aware of in this ministration. So as I go on, I now want to wrap up with specifics. Okay, so now I've tabulated the difference of the Old Testament and the New. So I've added some more things that were also going on in the Old Testament, that we see scribes, meaning teachers, we see prophets, I've already explained, and that we see elders. Okay, the prophets, okay, office of the prophets, spirit of the prophet and also a gift of prophecy. In the new now, we see that we are sons because we have received Christ. This New Testament is a spiritual one. It's about Christ. It's about Jesus being the author of our salvation. You will see that in the book of Hebrews, in which the Bible will say that looking up unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. This kingdom that we are in now is based on faith. Of course, I compared Hebrews 11, all the heroes of faith, that everything that they did, everything that they were doing, that God had better promises for us. He had better things, better stuff in stores. Like we see that in that last verse of Hebrews, chapter number 11. You know, when he enumerated all those heroes of faith, they were all enumerated there in that verse. The Bible would then say, close that chapter and say that, and God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So they, with all the fact that how God was working with them, the way God was doing with them, they without us, they should not be made perfect. So we have a spiritual one, a much more better, that is based on better promises. So we cannot afford to fail God in this new kingdom that he has put unto us, he has given unto us, he has freely given unto us when he died unto us and he rose again to affirm our faith. Let's not forget, we are entering into this month of the remembrance of our, of the death, burial, actually burial of our Lord Jesus Christ in this April, because it actually happened in April. Yes, that was already historically proven, because we have a faith that is the reliability of our faith. Okay. Our faith is reliable. We have a reliable faith. We have a genuine faith. We have an historically proven faith. So in this kingdom, we are a kingdom of faith-based people. We are a kingdom of people who have believed Jesus. So nobody can take that away from you, my brother. Nobody can take that away from you, my sister. Because Apostle Paul would say in Romans 3, what of if they did not believe? So therefore, you believe, I believe, we are in the kingdom together. None of us is going down. None of us will lose in the name of Jesus. We are going to fight this fight together, ladies and gentlemen, to win. Because many run in a race, but one, many run in a race, but one wins. Run that you may obtain. So we are obtaining it, this kingdom that has been given unto us freely by what Jesus did for us. And this is the month to remember, the death and the burial of our Lord Jesus Christ, which will further affirm our faith in him. It gives us that confidence of what we believe. We are not believing cunningly devised fables, the Bible would say. We are not believing cunningly devised fables, but we know who we are in Christ and whose we are, that we should continue to hold on to the faith that we have received, and nothing can take it away from us. We remain unshakable in this kingdom because we have an unshakable kingdom. Let me give us that place I cited. It's in the book of that's Second Peter chapter number 1. Look at it in that's verse 16. He said, for we have not followed only devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we are eyewitnesses of his majesty. So this Apostle Peter, notice that he was a witness of his majesty, but we are not physically there. However, we believe. We believe. And then the Bible would say that blessed are those that did not see, but yet they believe. So everything in God's kingdom have specifics. Thing that is always a little bit slightly, of a higher calling, of a higher than the other person. So those that were in the Old Testament, of all the things they did, they still cannot be compared with us. They without us, they cannot be made perfect. Okay, people will say, okay, I saw Jesus Christ, like what Apostle Peter is saying here in this place I cited, and they were eyewitnesses. Then the Bible will say that those of us that believe, blessed is the person that did not see, yet they believe. So we are in another category. I always explain to people that the scriptures, the Bible, in this our faith, in this our life passion, the Bible is always a book of category. There is a lot of categorization of people in the scriptures. And it's not because God wants to cause confusion. No. It's because every one of us in our faith work, in our personal work, in this kingdom, we are at a different level. And God respects that. God honors that we are continue, as long as we are going to fight our fight, as long as we are going to live our life, as long as we are going to pursue Christ, hold on to the faith that we have, the provision of our faith without wavering, we are not going to lose. So my brother, my sister, you know who you are in Christ, and I know who I am in Christ. You know whose you are, and you know who you are. Nobody can take away what you already have been freely given of Christ Jesus. It cannot be taken away from you, except we are the one that will disqualify ourselves or remove ourselves from it. That will not be, because we are going to be people that are very, very discreet in watching ourselves. We don't want anything that can make us to lose what God has given unto us, because he is making a kingdom of priests. Look at that in Revelation 5, I think it's verse 10, in which he said that he's making a kingdom of priests and kings. Let me see. Let me go to that one. He said Revelation 5, verse 10, I think. Revelation 5, 10 would say that, and he has made unto us our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. So notice that the word king is added also in this verse, the word king, because in the Old Testament, in that particular children of Israel, they all had kings that God was working with. Of course, we know that at a point Jacob divided. We see that there's a, I don't have to go into all those specifics of how that they divided into becoming, you know, southern kingdom and also northern kingdom. Of course, the northern kingdom became what? Israel. Of course, southern kingdom became what? Judah. So that is separate. However, because we are people of the kingdom, let me just stay on the New Testament. Let me stay on course to explain to us that we are people of the kingdom. Nobody can take away what you have. And I've said that overly to us, that nobody can take away what you already been freely given in Christ Jesus. So now, after doing that, some more things that we see in the New Testament, apart from, okay, the priesthood that is royal that we have, okay, that we are children of light, according to that 1 Peter 2:9, we are a priest. Okay, then what else is that we have? Is that we are kings. Notice that I just cited that in Revelation 5:10. We are kings, okay, and then we are sons. Okay, our sonship is in the belief. That's why I kept saying, I think it's in Romans 3, verse 3, what if they did not believe? So, my brother, my sister, you who have believed, we who have believed, Bible says, blessed are those that believe. Okay, we didn't have to be like Apostle Peter or the other 12 apostles, not even Apostle Paul, because Apostle Paul did not actually physically see Jesus. Of course, in Acts 9:5, he was being commissioned into his ministry. He did not physically see Jesus. He only heard the voice of Jesus. Yet God used him mightily. My brother, my sister. So we are more blessed because we believe by faith. We are in the faith category of people that believe. We are still part of the Hebrew 11 heroes. Praise God. Has been written. Yes, it's still being written in the realms of the spirit, because we are a people of faith. Nobody can take away that from you, my brother, because we are a people of faith. We are people that have believed. Because what if they did not believe? Romans 3:3. We are already in the category of people that believe. So we have been piggybacked into this kingdom, and nobody can take it away from you. We are in there. So therefore, kings is an extra one that we are in this kingdom. Then also we are disciples. How do I mean that we are disciples? We are disciples because we are people that are now taking God more seriously. Because to be disciple means to be what? To be disciplined. Disciple means to be disciplined. You will see that Jesus will mention that in Mark 16, in which he said, go into the world, teaching the nations that they will do what? To observe, to do what I have said. I think it's in Mark 16. So a disciple that you are, a disciple that I am, is the fact that I am a disciplined person. A disciple is a disciplined person. So that's an extra feature, extra role that you have, apart from your priesthood that is royal, apart from the fact that you are a child of light, apart from the fact that you are a priest, yes, you are also a king. I've referenced Revelation 5:10, you are a king, also you are a disciple, yes, you are a disciple. Nobody can take that away from you, because you have been discipled by the fact that you are now taking God more seriously. You are now becoming, you know, disciplined person. You are walking with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit that actually disciples us, he brings the thing that we know to our what? Remembrance. Because a disciple person is slightly different from just a follower. Somebody that is disciple, you know, of course, being a follower is part of being a disciple. A disciple person is more disciplined. The person is more careful. The person is more discreet. The person is more like what the Bible would say in Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The person that is a disciple is careful, is very, very careful with their, they can't just do anything they like anymore at that point, because they are observing to do what God says in the word, meaning they are taking God much more what seriously. There are the people that the Bible will mention, I think it's in Proverbs 25:28, where it says that somebody that is able to keep their, he said that he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without a wall. So a believer that is a disciple, if you are in the disciple category, the person is very, very, you know, the person is getting mature. It's like what the Bible will pray in a, in a, what Jesus desired for that believer. A disciple is a mature person. It's not just anybody. Because notice there were 12 of them when Jesus was in his physical ministry. There were 12 of them and he was not working just with the multitude. They were singled out. I just pray, my brother, my sister, that every one of us in this kingdom will single out ourselves to know that we are being discipled by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is bringing to your attention and to my attention the things that we learn in the scripture. And that's one feature of being a disciple. Another thing is that the person is observing to do what God is saying, meaning what the person is taking God more seriously. It's like referring to Joshua 1:8. This book of the law, it will not depart out of my heart. I will meditate in it day and night, that I will observe the word observe to do according to all that is written in it. Then shall I make my way prosperous, the prosperity of my life, the prosperity of this person. I will make my way prosperous and I will have good success. That good success there is not just physical things. It's in the spirit, because we are the stock of the spirit. We are in a different kingdom, ladies and gentlemen. So therefore, everything about us is not that we are spiritualizing. No, it's not. It's because we know who we are in Christ, what Christ has freely given to us, and we know who we are. We know where we are going. We are not in a religion. Therefore, we are in a relationship, in a fellowship. Relationship and fellowship. Also, we are in worship. So it's not that we are just following anybody. No. We know that our author is sure this is his month again, that they are celebrating it. So I want to adjourn you, my brother, my sister, that this month is a month to remember to affirm our faith again. Okay? Holding on to the profession of our faith without wavering. So that is the month in this our kingdom. We want to hold on to what we have believed and remain unshakable in the name of Jesus. So that is the other thing that I want to also add. I will be wrapping this up because I'm watching the time. So as I wrap this up, let's quickly go to this last section is the attribute of the kingdom people, which are God's will. Let's run through them very quickly, and then I will wrap up in about 10 minutes. Let me wrap them up. So now, the attributes of the kingdom people that are God's will. Let's go through it. The first one will be Romans 12. Let's go to Romans 12. The Bible says in Romans 12, it says that I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you should present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, which is your reasonable service. Okay. 2 says, and be not conformed to this world. Okay. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. Okay. Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice the phrase will of God there. So that is the first one. That's one attribute of the people of the kingdom, is that they are sanctified. They are set apart. Just like the Bible says here in Romans 12 is straight to the point. They are sanctified people. They are set aside. I'm not going to go back to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. It's already there that this is the will of God. Even your sanctification, simple. That's already done there. So that is the verses I gave for this sanctification. These people of the kingdom are sanctified people. That's the first attribute. Okay, the next one is that they are what? They are wise. Look at Daniel 12, verse 10. They are wise people. The Bible says that many shall be purified. I'm just going to cite that one to save time. Many shall be purified. Okay? Many shall be purified. And then the Bible says that some will do wickedly, but he said that the wise shall understand. So therefore, if you are in this kingdom, we must be people of what? Understanding. People that are wise. You will see also in the book of 1 Chronicles 12:32, the Bible says, of the tribe of Issachar, the Bible says that they were people that had understanding. So in this kingdom, you and I are people that have what? Understanding. So that's the next attribute of being a kingdom person. And those attributes are God's will. So you and I must have understanding. Ladies and gentlemen, we must have understanding. I just pray that is what we are going to do, that we are going to continue to have that understanding. Because in having understanding, it affects how we live our life. My brother and my sister, it affects how we live our life. So that is the next feature. The next thing is that we are wise. We can consider also that same place in Daniel 12 verse 10. We are wise people. We have understanding. And we can also consider Psalm 119 verse 130, that the entrance of God's word gives us understanding. It is to the simple. We are simple people because, like we say, the entrance of his word gives light and it gives understanding to the simple. What does that mean? Understanding to the simple because what we are simple people, we believe the Bible the way it is. We are like children. We are like children, you know, just receive the scriptures by faith. That is the feature of a kingdom person. Just receive it by faith. Jesus will say, if you don't receive this gospel like little children, you shall. There's a place that he said that if you don't receive it like He said, if you want to make the kingdom of God, you have to receive it like children, something like that. There's a place in the gospel. I can't remember that place, but it's there, in which he said, if you don't receive it as a child, you have to receive it as a child. And so that's what it is. We are children of God, not because we are children of God, because he has redeemed us out of he has snatched us out of bondages in our family lines, bondages in our life that could have put us in such places to remain like that throughout our lifetime. You will see that in Hebrews 2 verse 14. Jesus has redeemed us. We are the redeemed of the Lord. He has set us free. He has redeemed us and snatched us out from the power of darkness. Okay, you will see that in Hebrews 2 verse 14. Also look at Galatians 5 verse 1. The Bible says we will stand in that liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and we should not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So you, a kingdom person, have been set free. Yes, and you cannot suffer in that bondage again throughout your lifetime in your family. In your family, in my family line, we cannot suffer in that particular issue again throughout our lifetime, because Jesus has snatched us out of it in the name of Jesus. And also we are standing in that liberty, that freedom wherewith Christ has made us free in Jesus' name. So now as I wrap this up now, the other thing that the kingdom people have is also the fact that they are knowledgeable people. Hosea 4 verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They are very knowledgeable. That knowledge is not for pride, no. That knowledge, because you would go to 1 Corinthians 13, or in the book of the Apostle Paul, would say knowledge puffs up. No, it's not the one that will puff up. It's the knowledge to improve our living. It's the knowledge to do the things that will bring glory to God in this kingdom. It's the knowledge to continue to please our Father. That's all what it is. It's not because we are knowing the scriptures, or we are knowing God more in this kingdom, where you will see in the scripture, the Bible says, the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, who will have all men to be saved? 1 Timothy 2 verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? Knowledge in the scripture is not for necessarily for being puffed up. No, it adds to what I know, what I can use to improve my living, my walk with the Lord, my faith. Okay, in the name of Jesus. That's all what it is. So that's the next feature. The next one is that they are delivered people. I have already cited that already. Galatians 5:1. Also look at the Hebrews 2 verse 14. Jesus Christ's death has snatched us out from every kingdom of darkness. Therefore, they cannot influence again our line, our family line anymore. They cannot take us over all through our lifetime. No, because Jesus has legally, you know, he disarmed principalities and power. He disarmed them. So if they have been disarmed, therefore they cannot take us over and swallow us up. No, they cannot. So that's another thing that we should be aware of in the kingdom. As I wrap up now, let's also look at the other things that we, other features, other attributes of the kingdom people that are God's will, is that they are justified. This one I love so much. I need to read this one. They are justified people. Look at Romans 3. Romans 3 is a place in the New Testament that really explains our justification. Really very good explanation of our justification. Look at it in verse 24. The Bible says that being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, the Bible says in verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through the faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the word remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. 26, we say, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and that the justifier of him which believeth in Christ, in Jesus. Sorry. 27 says, where is boasting then? Where is our boasting? It is excluded by that law of works, nay, but by the law of faith. 28, we say, therefore, we are concluding that a man is justified. We conclude this, that a man is justified, yes, by faith, without the deeds of the law. Is it that God of the Jews only? Is it the God of the Jews only? Is not also of the Gentiles? No. Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and circumcision through faith. Do we make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. So this portion of the scripture is explaining to us that our justification is because we believe. That's all what it is. Look at that, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, unto them that believe. But there is no difference. So it is our belief, brothers and sisters. We are in the kingdom of believers. We believe. Nobody can take our justification away from us. Yes, we have been justified because we believe in Jesus Christ. My brother, my sister, nobody can take that away from you. You have been justified. That justification is not because of me. It's because of what Jesus did, and we believe it. We receive it. That's all this Romans 3 is talking about. Let's move on. We have been made righteous. We are righteous people. I just cited that already. Romans 3:22. We are righteous people. And then in this kingdom, okay, Ezekiel 36, I don't have to go there. I can just cite that and explain. Ezekiel 36, 22 to 24 is the physical restoration of Israel. So now from 24 to 26 is spiritual restoration. That spiritual restoration, my brother and my sister, that is the one that pertains to us. We are a kingdom of people that have been restored. Praise God. So we are restored people. So therefore, enjoy your restoration, brother. I'm enjoying my restoration in the name of Jesus. So that's the next one. And then the next one, we are a people of service. Okay, we are kingdom people of service. Hebrews 12 verse 28. I don't need to go to that one because of time. So we are a people of service. We would say in that place that seeing that we have received a kingdom which shall not be moved, I think it says that we should serve God acceptably with a reverential fear. That's what he's saying in that Hebrews 12, 28. And then my last thing is that we are people of diligence. We must serve God in diligence. I already cited that already. Proverbs 4:23. Also look at Proverbs 25 verse 28. Okay, we are people that are on guard. We are very careful. In fact, look at that. I think I didn't have this. Look at Philippians 3:3. We are a people of worship. In this kingdom, we are always in worship. What we worship is very, very important to us. So we are worshiping our Maker. We are worshiping the true God. We are worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. We are, the Bible says, we are of the circumcision that worship God in the spirit. And we have no confidence in the flesh. I think it's Philippians 3 verse 3. That is all we are doing in this kingdom. Then the last thing is that we are people of what? Of truth. I already cited the 2 Peter 1. Look at it in verse 11. We are established in the present truth already. So we have been established in the present truth. So these are the attribute of the people of the kingdom. And then lastly, as I close, is that we are people of what? Sound doctrine. That will be in Titus 2:1 or 1 Timothy 1 verse 10. We are a people of sound doctrine. That is what we are going to use to build ourselves in this kingdom. We are not going to build ourselves with the doctrines of devils. Because if it's pluralized, anytime doctrine is pluralized, it's always of devils and of demons. But we are building ourselves with sound doctrine. Titus 2:1, 1 Timothy 1:10. There is more scriptures. Those are the only one I wanted to cite on that particular one. So that is all I just came to share. So as I wrap up now, and so I can be done in 1 minute, is that we should realize that we are a people of this kingdom. We are sanctified. We are wise. We are justified. We are knowledgeable. We are delivered. We are justified. We are righteous. Okay. We have been restored. We are diligent. We have a service of worship to God. And then we have a sound doctrine. We are people of the truth. Those are all the things that we are doing in this kingdom. I just pray in the name of Jesus that in our life journey, we are not going to lose. And God is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And we are going to grow in that kingdom. We are in it because he said that the kingdom of God is within you. So we're already in it. Nobody can take it away from us. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is what I came to share today. I just pray as we are going to this new month, this resurrection month, as I close, I want to adjourn you, my brother and my sister. I want to adjourn myself to that our faith become firmer this month. Anytime we are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it is an assurance of the reliability and the validity of our faith. Amen. So we have a genuine faith. We should always not forget this. We have a genuine faith that is historically proven. So the reliability and the validity of our faith is going to be confirmed again this month. So that affirmation is a faith. It's for us to be sure of what we believe, because we are not believed only devised fable in this kingdom. So that's all I came to share. God bless you for listening. I really appreciate Pastor Yato and Mommy Evo for giving me this opportunity to reiterate this, that we are God's people in this kingdom and we are here to win. We are going to win together and fight this good fight of faith. God bless you. You have a good rest of your month. I just want to thank you, Father, for this ministration. I want to thank you, Father God, for everyone in this platform. I just pray that this month of April, we are going to reiterate the confidence that we have in our faith, that we have not believed cunningly devised fables. But at least the month that our faith grows bigger, Lord, may that growing bigger remain firm, because they are going to celebrate again a celebration for the Christian faith that Jesus died and he rose from the dead. Otherwise, our faith could have been null and void, God forbid, but that he died and he rose from the dead. to confirm, to affirm it that our faith is sure. So therefore, the profession of our faith, we are going to hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering. May every one of us hold fast again, afresh this month of April. I just give you praise and I thank you, Father God, because we are the people of the kingdom. Lord, nobody can snatch us out. You have already delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and you have translated us to the kingdom of light of your dear son. We appreciate you, dear Father. Receive all thanks this month. We are going into this one by faith, oh God. And Lord, we shall win and we shall conquer. We are also people of the kingdom. We are people of the overcomers. I forgot that people of the overcomers, we are going to overcome. This is the victory. The Bible says that overcomes the world, even our faith. Our faith. Please, we are not going to lose it, Lord. Because when you shall come back, shall you find faith on the earth? Yes, you are going to find faith in these people on this platform. Everyone on this platform are going to hold on to their faith. Blessed be your name. We give you praise. Thank you, Almighty Father God. In Jesus' glorious name, we have prayed. God bless you. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you, man. God bless you. And I yield.